welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And you might think, oh, he sounds kind of different. Well, I got the con cred. I went to Baltimore Comic Con and I had a blast. The best thing about the con was, you know, meeting with my friends, of course. That's why I go. It's not really to buy stuff or anything. It's to meet with my best friends and podcast friends. And this time I got to meet Chris Ivey, which is really cool because I do the retrocast with them and I've never met him before. So that was really awesome. And then I got to meet Daryl and see Chris Campbell and a whole bunch of other people that I know and I meet every year. And it was a blast. I had a really good time. And I didn't get sick over there, which was great because there's nothing worse than being sick at a Comic-Con. That happened to me one year at Heroes-Con. And I basically was out Saturday and Sunday. I was able to attend on Friday, and then I got really sick, and then was able to maybe go out to dinner on Sunday, but I was out 2 days, so I did all that traveling and then got really sick. But I got sick of this convention, and but not until afterwards. So I had the day off today, and I was going to do the Mike M's Weekly Reads. I released last week's, and then I said I might as well knock out this week's, even though I sound like crap. Because I don't know when I will sound better, because when I get sick, I tend to get sick for a week or two. So hopefully I'm taking meds and I'm trying to get better quicker. But I'll also be taking a sip of 7-Up every now and then. So same rules apply. We'll start at the bottom and go to the top. This week, because of the con, I didn't do a hell of a lot of reading. I read some stuff on the plane. I read some stuff during the week prior to the con. And read some stuff after the con. But not a whole lot of reading, you know, from Thursday to Sunday. Or Monday. And, but this is how it broke out. I had a few number fives, quite a bit of number fours, and some number threes. So we'll start at the bottom again. The breakout is 5, I loved it. 4 is I really liked it. 3 is I like it. 2 is I did not like it. And 1 is I hated it. There were no number 2s and number 1s, so I liked everything that I read. The breakout was pretty small. There's a total of 14 comics, 2 from Avatar, 3 from DC, 1 from Legendary Comics, 7 from Valiant, and 1 from Zenoscope. So this is how they broke out. Starting at the 3 out of 5s, I had Grimm Fairy Tales Presents The Coven, number 1. And this was a witch's story. I think it's the first coven they've been introduced before, but it's been in Grimm Fairy Tales or some of the crossover events. This is the first coven event that I remember them doing. And it is about a bunch of witches. And they're being targeted by a bunch of witch hunters. And one of the witches is trying to rescue the witches from the witch hunters. And she's going to use the witch hunters to do it. So it was a pretty good read. It was interesting because they were waiting for the blood moon. And just coincidentally, this week was the blood moon. So that was pretty interesting. I enjoyed it. It was fun. We'll see where it goes. It's a 5-issue miniseries from Zenoscope. Then we go into Fashion Beast. This is post-apocalyptic fashion. So I've been reading Starve, which is post-apocalyptic food. So I was like, why the hell not get caught up on post-apocalyptic fashion? This is by Alan Moore, and it's from Avatar Press. And it really focuses around a fashion person that just came into power. And she seems kind of bitchy, and she's using her friends to get to the top. And there's this one recluse who is the fashion god, and he's the one that hired this new model. But it's making out to be an interesting story, and we'll see where it goes, because in the last few issues, they've been building up the female model character, so she's being really accepted with the main character, who is supposed to be ugly. And but he comes from a long line of a model mom, and he designs a lot of clothing and is real popular, but he never shows his face. And you always wonder what he looks like. Is he ugly, whereas his mom was beautiful? And they do show his face, and he isn't ugly, but he doesn't like look at himself in the mirror to know if he is ugly. The old women that work for him, they are ugly. They're like the wicked stepsisters in Cinderella. But it is an interesting book. It's from a few years ago. I'm working on getting caught up on it. This was issues 5 and 6. I rated them a 3 out of 5. This could be a really short episode because of my cough and I didn't get a lot to read. But coming up at the 4 out of 5, this one almost made a 3 out of 5 because I didn't feel like it advanced the story, but the art was beautiful and the story was advanced enough for me to enjoy it a little bit more. So this is Book of Death, Legends of the Geomancer. This is the $15 book, $10 book, depending on where you're going. The first book was $25, but I think the first issue had a lot of bang for your buck. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that went on. And then number two advances the story a little bit. Number three barely advances the story a little bit, in my opinion. And even though it's a great read, it could be a lot better if they just had more story and more depth learning about this geomancer that started it all. And instead, it kind of meandered in this issue with her coming into power and I guess you could say the two men in her life realizing that she's kind of evil, and she does take out a bunch of giants, but they kind of asked for it. So it was a decent read. Could be a little bit better. And then Book of Death number 3. This I think started off really well, and it introduced the story, it introduced the threat. Unity came to the rescue. Issue 2 was Unity getting their ass kicked by Eternal Warrior. And Eternal Warrior Galad kind of grabbing the Geomancer and taking off again. And in issue 3, it didn't really advance it. He's using the Geomancer to try to track down the other Geomancer because he knows there's another one. He doesn't know who's involved. This does introduce the big bad as Master Dark, but Valiant did spoil that many solicits ago, like when issue number one came out, and it kind of lessened the punch of it being Master Dark. And it didn't really introduce like what his goals were or what he's trying to do. It just kind of like put him out there, and it didn't advance the story a hell of a lot, other than they kind of know where each other are at right now. Galad knows that where that Geomancer's at, and he know and Master Dark knows where the female Geomancer's at, which is going to lead to a conflict in number 4. So hopefully that'll wrap up nicely, and I'll like it more like I like number 1. The next number 4 is Q2, The Return of Quantum and Woody. I read number 1 a long, long, long time ago, and I didn't like it, so I sat on it until the whole series was done. And I'm glad I sat on it because I read all 5, and I thought the theme of the Of Mice and Men, the John Steinbeck book, was a really good one. It's one of my favorite novels of all time, and it was great following along with the theme of that, especially all the past sequences of Quantum and Rudy. I really enjoyed. The futuristic scenes were kind of jarring, and they're kind of hard to follow, but they essentially found a way to clone people, and they had cloned a quantum, a very young quantum. He couldn't age. He was a kid. He was like Robin if he was stuck at that age his entire life. And this corporation going after that, the formula that he owned, and Woody. There's various versions of Woody, but I enjoyed it. It was a good read. I'm glad I didn't read it monthly because I think I would have missed a lot of the linkages that were there that were set up by the writer Christopher Priest, because this was a reuniting Christopher Priest and M.D. Bright, who wrote the original Acclaim series, which was really a critically acclaimed. And I don't remember a hell of a lot of it, but I have all the issues, and I did read them all. It might have even been a better linkage if I read the omnibus and then started with this series. And at some point, I may revisit that, but I'm not gonna do it at this time. Sorry. And the next one was a really surprise. I knew that it was a good creative team. I picked this out of previews because it was Mark Guggenheim and Freddie Williams II. Both creators I really enjoy. And it's called The Infinite Adventures of Jonas Quantum. And what this reminded me of is a Tom Strong combined with like an Ivar the Time Walker. More so leaning towards the Tom Strong series, which is a guy that he seems like he's immortal and he can live through anything and he's an adventurer. He invents stuff and he invented a solution for curing death in humans. And his assistant was, you know how dangerous this could be in the hands of the wrong people? Well, they locked up this serum in this impenetrable vault, and it was stolen. And now they're trying to track down who actually stole it. And that person that stole it is kind of like leaving clues along the way on why he stole it and trying to lead them in that back to the serum. And I really enjoyed it. It's from Legendary Comics, and it was a lot better than I guess I thought it would be. And I'm glad I ordered it. Gotta make sure I pre-ordered the other ones, but I'm pretty sure I did. And then coming up on the last 4 out of 5 is Thunder Agents Volume 3, Number 3, which focuses on the two agents who are trying to bring the Thunder Agents together. They have to go. They're trying to get No Man into the group, and No Man is kind of like a mortal that's able to transfer his bodies from machine to machine or from No Man to No Man. And he's obviously the oldest one that's lived through it. All the other Thunder Agents have been dead. Raven's still alive, and they want to recruit him to go rescue Raven. And they finally get his help, and they try to go rescue him. And we learn on the last page that one of the Thunder Agents isn't who we think he is, and he's actually an agent for the other side of Spider. So I really enjoyed that. It is a really good series, and I don't I just still, I think it would be a good series if people read it, like more people gave it a chance. But most of the DC people at this, they just stick to Batman, Superman, and other things. They don't go for the obscure things. But it was a really, really good title. This is Volume 3, which was coming out pre New 52. There's also a mini series that came out when the New 52 was launched, so I'd recommend it. And then in the 5 out of 5s, I read on the plane. I read Q2 on the plane, and then I started the Suicide Squad trade because it's easier for me to take a trade on an airplane and have the trade out than to have a stack full of like 10, 20 different comics. So I took these two trades, and I did get through the whole trade, but I read Secret Origins. Well, I'm gonna rate the. I rated these 5 out of 5, but at the lower one, 5 out of 5 was Suicide Squad Volume 1, Number 1, and then at the top was Secret Origins Volume 3, Number 14. So the first story is Secret Origins, Number 14. And I believe it came out prior to Suicide Squad, which was launched again God, I can't think of the story. Legends. But they are around. They've been around since like the 12 Sanity issues of Brave and the Bold. They've been introduced. I even have some of their original adventures. What this series did a really good job of is starting with the original team. And the original team started off as Suicide Squad, Rick Flagg Sr., who was an adventurer with a bunch of other people, kind of like Challengers of the Unknown. And they broke up into two groups. And this is the first appearance or first mention of a group called Argent. And the government formed two groups. One was a militaristic team, which was the Suicide Squad. And then the other team was a superhero type team that was called Argent. And they didn't really talk, they didn't talk a whole lot about Argent, but it did show you the two branches. And it showed you, like, how Rick Flagg came into the original Suicide Squad and how he passed the flag on to his son. And his son became an adventurer. Much like Challengers of the Unknown, they were in the mountains one time. With one was a scientist, one was a specialist in something, and one was a female who was a specialist in medical stuff. And Rick Flagg Jr. fell in love with the medical supply female. But everybody else on the team was also romantically in love with her. And for some reason, Rick and the girl did not want to let the other team members know that they were in love with each other, because they thought they've been in missions where their partners have died and stuff, and that they would take this thing as a heartbreaking thing to, if she said, no, I'm in love with Rick, and break up the team, and they didn't want to break up the team. But it was a very interesting story, and it also showed how Rick Flagg Sr. Did actually die in action. And it also showed the origin of Amanda Waller, which is a lot more brutal than I remembered it to be. I haven't read it in such a long time. But she started off having a pretty big family and falling in love in a bad part of town. It never explained why her and her husband never left that town, because they had like five kids, two twins, and they were all very smart children, and they all worked hard to stay out of trouble. But one day, two gangbangers tried to mess up her son, and her son fought back. He was a basketball player, and they killed him. Immediately, almost after that, somebody raped their daughter, raped and killed her, and they like left her parts everywhere. Well, at this part, Amanda Waller and her husband didn't know what to do. Well, her husband decided, this motherfucker, I know who did it. I am going to go kill this motherfucker. And he did. He went after that dude and went to prison. He killed that asshole. And Amanda Waller says, I got to get my remaining family members out and find a good job so I can support them. And she got into the government, and that's kind of how she got started. And it was interesting, too, because she was telling her story about how to keep the Suicide Squad on the government payroll kind of thing and funded. And she was talking to Ronald Reagan, so there was a very long, interesting conversation she had with Ronald Reagan. Really good origin story. Really good linkage between the original Suicide Squad, the passing of the Suicide Squad to Rick Flagg and Amanda Waller, how Rick Flagg and Bronze Tiger were kind of brought on to monitor the team, but they weren't really criminals. But the other guys actually got the bracelet on them to blow off their arm. And then it started Suicide Squad 1, which had like a jihad-type group of terrorists that destroyed an airport, pretty much killed 500 people, and the Suicide Squad is put on payroll to go target them, go after them. And they're not on payroll. I guess you could say Rick and Bronze Tiger are, and Amanda Waller. The rest of them are kind of reduced sentences, and some of them are just along for the ride, like Deadshot. He already served his time. He could go. He doesn't have a bracelet on. But Amanda Waller even says he's perfect for this team because he wants to die. So, sorry, I have to take a drink. But the other thing that was really interesting is it builds up the team, you know, that they're going against, Manicore and the guy with the sword and all of those guys. Spends a lot of time building up the bad guys and then introduces all the good guys. And one of the interesting things is that Captain Boomerang had been released, or his bracelet has been taken off. But he has to smart mouth to Amanda Waller, gets it put back on in the first issue. And he was flirting with one of the members, Plastique. It has Mind Bender too. But he was trying to hit on Plastique, and that didn't work out too well. But it was just these two issues. I loved when I read them back in the 90s or 80s or whenever they came out, whenever Legends came out. And I absolutely loved them now. And it didn't, it was so good that it makes me want to revisit everything all over again. That's how good they were. They were that good. They're just fantastic. I love these two issues. So, those two are 5 out of 5, and this wraps up another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I'm sorry that I'm sick. You have to bear with me coughing a couple times, or drinking because my throat gets dry. I just hope I could hang in and do a lot of work the next couple of days because I'm going on another vacation, so I have to get a lot of stuff tightened up at work, and I hope I don't lose my voice. But thanks for listening, and if you want to reach me, let me know what you think of this or any of these books or any books you'd like me to read. You could contact me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's my email. Or you could send feedback to Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. Or you could go to the Facebook page on the Geek Brunch podcast and post something there in regards to Mike M's Weekly Reads. The website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. And thank you for listening. And if you get a chance, leave an iTunes review. You could go type in Geek Brunch Podcast and leave a review there. And when you do leave a review, and if it's for this show, just say, "This is for Mike M's Weekly Reads. I really enjoy it," or "You really don't enjoy it," whatever you want to say. But thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again in 7. Bye-bye.
Yeah.